Hi, everyone, and welcome back to Handling the Heat, the podcast by RestaurantEquipment.biz, where we share real stories from the people keeping the food world running. My name is Zach Sherman, and today I'm joined by Mike Tugas, a close friend from college and also a fellow TagX Brands and RestaurantEquipment.biz alum who's worked with us in the past. These days, Mike is a front-of-house lead at Tavernetta in Denver, one of the city's top restaurants and a Bib Gourmand recipient from the Michelin Guide. He shares his journey from engineering into fine dining, what it was like starting with zero restaurant experience, and how mentorship, repetition, and team culture helped him grow into the role. Let's jump in. Mike, well, thank you so much for joining us here on Handling the Heat. Very excited to talk to you both as a friend, a fellow TagX alum, and also as a leader in the front of house space. Really, really appreciate having you on.
Yeah, of course. Cool opportunity. Excited to get into some topics with you. It's cool.
So before we get into the meat and potatoes of this, Mike, want to ask you something that we ask all of our guests. What's something that you've eaten recently that's really tickled your fancy?
Eaten recently? Well, I actually had a pretty big food week in Denver last week. My parents were in town, so I was taking them all the spots. We did go to Tavernetta. That was great. Got to try some of the spring dishes, in full. But I would say, honestly, a sleeper pick. There's this place called Atreya. It's in Union Station in Denver, so right in kind of that main bustling downtown area. And it's a Portuguese and Spanish tapas place. And I went there when I first moved to town, but it's my first time back since. And they've got an awesome happy hour. Like, great priced little Negroni you can get, all the classic kind of tapas, your con tomate, and you know them all. You lived in Barcelona, but they did a really good job. I was really impressed. It's a happy hour I'll definitely be hitting more in the future.
Lovely. That's great. Yeah. I think, just goes to show Denver, of all places, having a lot of, diverse food available. Awesome. So, Mike, obviously we have a bit of history together, but I want to talk specifically about your experience in the food space. You've held a lot of different jobs, done a lot of different things in your life, traveled around a lot. And I think because of that, you have one of the more interesting journeys to being in a position where you are front of house at a, well-established fine dining of sorts restaurant. So can you kind of talk us through your background and how you found yourself working at Tavernetta?
Yeah, absolutely. I would say I'll start at the beginning. So as you know, at Michigan, I was a civil and environmental engineering major. So worked in project management, civil engineering, design, those sorts of things for a number of years out of school. And then kind of realized that my passion wasn't there for that industry. So started, making the transition and found a love for flying, and flying planes is kind of what I decided I want to move into next as a larger career. Obviously, the schooling for that is kind of a long process. So, and one of my good friends out here in Denver, works at a restaurant called Sunday Vinyl, a really cool spot also in Union Station area. That's, kind of more really nice listening lounge, fine wines from a town around the world, and a little bit more of a French focused menu. And so the restaurant group is called Frasca Hospitality Group. And my friend said, hey, you're about to go to flight school. This could be a good, the hours of restaurants work, and Tavernetta, our sister restaurant, is hiring right now. And so I was like, okay, I'll look into it. Cause I always considered, I was like, I'm going to need to be working, part-time while I get this flight school thing up and running. So I applied and, I was very upfront with them, said, hey, never worked in the industry before. Now you guys are, a little more serious business. But obviously, went into it and, the managers were super professional. I was very impressed with, how kind of corporately they were running things, with the interview process. It was almost you've got interview with three managers back to back to back, very rigorous, talking about very different things with each of them. And so I was I kind of felt all right, this is, if I'm going to do a restaurant thing, I need to do something that's A, gonna, you know, be lucrative, and B, like, have some sort of quality standards. Like, I'm not gonna go just pour beers at some college dive bar, you know. Like, I want to learn something while I'm doing this, learn some skills that I can use in my whole life. And so just the only restaurant, I applied to two restaurants, but just one of two restaurants that I applied to and immediately seemed like a great fit. So hit the ground running, and yeah, I've been there 2.5 years now, which is crazy to think. But yeah, that's kind of the entry point.
So. That's great. Well, I think what's really interesting, and similar to some of the other people that we talk to on this podcast and that I talk to through my work, is necessity being the push to spontaneity, and then ultimately finding something that you feel like can become something more. And I think for you to have that kind of insight during the interview process, as opposed to somewhere down the line, of knowing that you want to take away something from this more than just getting a paycheck every couple of weeks from, you know, whatever job you can get, is something that I think the food space really does provide that a lot of people don't necessarily think of when they think about the food space.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, there's, you know, there's a lot of different things that you can learn from it, whether it's soft skills or, you know, hard knowledge about cooking techniques, or, you know, at the restaurant group that I'm a part of, there's a huge wine culture. So there's so many, you know, ways you can learn all about that, or even spirits if you're interested in them. So yeah, I mean, I'm sure there's plenty of other restaurants like this, but that was obviously a huge selling point for me. And I think for a lot of people, honestly, that come into this restaurant group, like, that is, it's a big part of the culture, is the constant knowledge and opportunities to learn and really dive into topics with other people in the company or at your specific restaurant within the company.
So your experience in the interview process was obviously impressed, but what were your first impressions when you sat in on your first couple shifts working at Tavernetta? How did you feel when you were coming in? You know, I know your background is obviously you have a meticulous nature being an engineer, and knowing that you are very detail oriented, that was probably helpful. But can you talk a little bit about your first impressions and how those first couple shifts went for you?
Definitely. Yeah. So it was definitely a very challenging week. I would say, yes, there were some pros and cons. Like you mentioned, the detail-oriented background, like, always a skill that I've had, that actually came, that in the fine dining space, it's huge, right? And so there are a few of our managers that, you know, harp and drill into the stuff. So that was easy for me to pick up. But the other side of things, like the stress management and the compartmentalization, that was the hardest part in the first week for sure. And like dealing with other people's stress and just like trying to like learn, you know, like there's just so much that I hadn't experienced in terms of, you know, the pace and necessity of the work, as well as, you know, different people kind of bearing down on you and everybody trying to teach you things. Cause like a lot of times it's coming from a good place, but everybody has their opinion of how something needs to happen, right? So it was the fire hose. It was a total fire hose for the first few weeks. And I almost quit probably 3 times in the first week, like just from the stress. Like it was hard, and people were, I think part of my issue was, you know, a lot of people were like, who is this guy? You know, like no restaurant experience. Like that was a big title catchphrase that went along with me. Because most people that work there, you know, they were manager at their old restaurant, or they were a sous chef at their old restaurant. You know, people come into this place with a lot of experience, some of them, you know, and then others come in, they're in culinary school, and this is like a huge moment for them and a stepping stone in their careers. So me coming in as a true outsider, I think was, I didn't have any respect, you know? So like it was hard, you know, people were walking all over me, trying to take advantage of me. Like it was a grind, especially at the bottom, because at Tavernetta, everybody starts at this position called RBP, which is you run food, you make all of the cappuccinos, coffee beverages, and polish the glass. So everybody starts there, no matter whether you're a manager hire or a sommelier hire, you have to start there and work your way up. So yeah, it was very hard. And the physical toll, you know, that it took on my body was very foreign to me. You know, you're all the repetitive movements, you're putting strain on different parts of your body. That was really hard at first. Yeah, those were some of the biggest challenges in that first week. Obviously, different challenges presented at different parts of the journey, but yeah.
No, I can imagine. And I think for you in particular, going in with as much respect as it sounds like you had for the experience. And I think some people kind of now have a better understanding of what fine dining looks like as a result of media out in the world, like The Bear, for example, where they see the buttoned up, very intense, high pressure, but unbelievable outcome for the customers ultimately is what everyone's striving for. And, you know, that wasn't as prevalent in the world and in general knowledge when you first started, but it sounds like you had respect for that as a result of your interview process and knowing people that work there, and you kind of had to claw your way to gain that respect back from the other people who had, you know, worked their way up the ladder in whatever way that they did. Was there a time that you kind of transitioned from challenge through to rewarding? Meaning when it kind of went from, you know, the stick to more the carrot.
Yeah, absolutely. So I would say that moment started to really happen at probably the, I'd say 8 month mark. It took a while. And part of the reason why it took so long is because, you know, the moment that you get comfortable in that RVP position, you get promoted. So then you have an entirely new set of challenges, you know, which for most people, it's back weight, right? Your back server. So you're helping the servers, you know, with all the other odds and ends they need. So you have that. And then for me personally, like when I walked in there, I was enamored with the expo pass and, you know, running like how that process went. Cause it's an open kitchen at Tabernetta. So it's like a song and dance. You're like a conductor of an orchestra. So I was like, this is really cool. And so I gravitated towards that. And so I was learning that and back weight at the same time. So after my 3 months in the first position, then there was this next period. And that was an entirely different grind, learning two positions at once, you know, starting to understand the back of house. But I would say, to answer your question, around that 8-9 month mark is when I really started. It was probably midsummer, you know, summer's our busy season. And I started to get really comfortable and confident running the pass. And then I was like, okay, like now, like I've, you know, started to figure this out. And like, I know how this place works. And it's no longer, you know, 10 different people telling me how it needs to be and all over me. It's like, no, like, and again, obviously there's much more learning, you know, beyond that, and becoming a server and stuff came right after that moment. But that was a big moment of understanding. And I think, you know, good faith and like trust, you know, when my managers and the chefs, you know, didn't have to worry about me, you know, they're like, oh, like we have Mike on the pass, we're in good shape tonight. You know, that transition was huge for me. It was not only a confidence builder, but I knew I was there too, you know, and then I could start focusing on other things, you know?
No, that's, and I think the confidence that you have being paired up with the confidence that those around you have in you is really the kind of transcendental moment of any kind of new job or new activity that you're trying to take in. And I think it's really important, especially in a high pressure situation like fine dining, to find that and find your people who bring you there along with them, right? And I think that that's something that's really interesting about the food space too, is it's the outcome to the customer only happens as a result of the people that are doing the work, right? Whether that be the maitre d', the somme, the chef, the person leading the expo, the person making the cappuccino. And to be in such a space that really excites the customer, it has to be as a result of the people that work there. Was there a moment where it changed from being a job, being a Tabernetta, to something that you really wanted to hone as a craft? And it sounds like the expo was that for you, right? What about the expo kind of did that? And why that kind of switch in mentality? Was it because you knew that you were good at it and everyone around you knew that you were good at it? Or was there something else?
I would say that, but in a weird sort of way, I really went into this with kind of the mindset, you know, of, you know, building craft, and whether it was partially like my own just attitude towards this job or the people that were mentoring me, you know, like there was, they were so much, you know, whether it was just like, no, this is one of our SOPs, or it was like, you know, more soft knowledge, like, or just, you know, from one of my managers and just talking about, hey, like, you know, balancing lifestyle and whatnot. So I think, like, you know, it, in a way, starting to treat polishing glasses like a craft and like learning about how to make a cappuccino, you know, learning about that off the clock, like things like that, those started to, you know, I approached those like, no, this is my craft. Like, this is what I need to work towards so that I can get to the next level. But yes, like Expo, you know, working that and putting in the time, like every day, like it was really, it was a process, you know, every night myself and the sous chef, I would ask him, big, hey, we screwed this up. This went well. Like, what can I do better? You know, like we need, like, what can I, like, it was every day we'd have a 15 minute debrief. No one was asking, you know, us to do that, but like, that's what was required. That's what I was requiring of myself, right? To excel at that position. I don't know if that really answered your question, but you know, that was, you know, that whole learning period on Expo was, that was, it was formative. And, you know, I just treated it and, you know, realizing that this is not something that I'm just going to figure out immediately one day. Like, this is going to be incremental work and there's going to be a lot of bumps in the road, but you have to keep that hungry attitude. And, you know, especially for me, like I'm trying to earn respect, you know, it's the Ritu Pect is earned, right? Like I say that to people at work, you know, cause it's true. Like you have to, you know, it's merit based. And part of that is via consistency. You know, you have to be able to do these things over, you can't just have one good night because, you know, there's going to be great nights and there's going to be awful nights. Like that's how the restaurant industry is, right? It really, to me, like can be this love hate. But when you start to, you know, overshadow, you know, the hate with love moments, right? And you can get to that point, then it's super rewarding, you know, work. I don't know if that answered your question, but
no, definitely. I think not only is it rewarding, it's the only way to do it, right? The incremental everyday 1% getting better. We talked to a couple of people on this podcast, and that is a theme that's been brought up pretty much every time is, you know, Rome's not built in a day.
Right.
The cappuccino's not built in a day, you know, not brewed in a day. You really got to figure out how can you not only strive for the great days, but how do you actually get there? And I think, you know, having those mentors around you, having that consistent drive of how can I do this better? Why did this happen? The kind of analytical nature of that, I think is really interesting because it doesn't necessarily need to be in spreadsheets and diagrams all the time. It's in real life with real people.
Right. Yeah. I would say that's the biggest, sorry to interrupt, but I would say that's one of the biggest adjustments for me, right? As like a numbers engineering guy, like so much of my, you know, analysis in my life has been, you know, looking at things like that. But the analytical brain that I have, it came to work really well in this situation, just a totally different framework within that. Right. So really cool to, you know, to see that at work as well.
What also is interesting is now you're in a position, you've gone from mentee to mentor, right? You've been there for 2.5 years. You're one of the lead Expo servers there. So can you talk me through what your pitch is to new people that are joining the restaurant or how you kind of identify people that you want to take under your wing? And then ultimately, how are you teaching them? Is it similar or different in the way that you were taught?
Definitely. So yeah, I would honestly, something we kind of touched on it a little bit earlier in the discussion here, but a lot of it is like, I want to work with people who have that same drive, right? You have to want it. You have to be willing to put in the work and grind it out. But at the same time, you know, you've got to be willing to learn as well. You know, the people that I find that don't succeed in this environment are the people who feel like they already know everything. I think that is a huge crux, because while you might know stuff from, you know, wherever the hell you worked before, and maybe that place was phenomenal, this is a totally different beast. I really do think it is a unique restaurant. So, you know, things are much different. So you have to have an open mind and you have to be willing to learn, you know, because we do things a little bit differently. And maybe there's always going to be, I don't care what industry you're in, there's always somebody that you're going to meet, whether it's in your own company or different, that knows something that you don't. So you have to be willing and able to learn from them. You know, even if it's me, right? Oh yeah, Mike, it's my first restaurant job. But hey, I've learned this, you know, through being here and doing things here. Yes, I don't have as much contextual knowledge about the industry as a whole, because this is the only restaurant I've worked, but like, there's still a lot to be learned. So I think that's, you know, I think that's a huge thing, right? Willingness to learn and drive, you know, to work hard, because it's not easy. You know, when we are busy in the summertime, man, like it's 400 covers sometimes, which is massive, especially if you're like, you know, working a position, any position there, it puts a toll on you. So you have to be willing to work your ass off in order to create that guest experience and to just like, you know, feel fulfilled in yourself. So those are the big things that I'm generally looking for. And I think that's something that I usually tell people, because when we have our stages come in every night, or not every night, but every time we're hiring someone, that's one of the final steps of the process is stage. So they'll come in and they always put them on the expo for part of the evening. And so if I'm working, I get a chance to talk to them, and that's usually what I'm looking for. I'm looking for, are they inquisitive? Are they asking myself questions? Are they asking the chefs questions about the dishes or the components of dishes? Are they getting into the weeds with that? Like, do they care about that? You know, and then obviously, like, are they personable, right? Like, if they're front of house person, like, you've got to be able to communicate. Obviously, it can be intimidating going into a setting like that. So some people are shy, and I was really shy at first too, but I think I got by on the ambitious and inquisitiveness. So
yeah, those are great skills to mm-hmm. relay to anyone who's interested in joining any business, let alone the restaurant business, where it's a hard requirement, to your point, especially in the fine dining space. I think one thing, Mike, that's I'm curious to hear about your perspective, given the inquisitiveness and the ambitiousness that you've portrayed and also hope others around you portray. A lot of the learning that you've described so far has been on the job. Why did this go good? Why did this go bad? What can I do better? Why is this happening in this way? I think something else about the restaurant industry, especially front of house, is the ability for you to go out into the world and put yourself in any other restaurant's shoes, right? Regardless of if it is the dive bar, college campus, you know, French fries and burgers to, you know, now you have Michelin in Denver, which Tavernetta obviously has been rewarded the Bib Gourmand, which is incredible, but you have really, really high quality food in the mountains and all over the world. How do you go into these situations where you're obviously not only a fan of the game, it sounds like, but also a fan of the food and the experience as a customer? So can you talk to me a little bit about your learning since joining Tavernetta, going to different restaurants, experiencing different experiences within the food space, and how you ultimately bring that back to your role at Tavernetta?
Definitely. Yeah, it definitely has changed the way that I dine a little bit. You know, part of it, like, you know, could be just from the knowledge I've gained, right? Like, I just, you know, have a better idea of what, you know, certain dishes are, right? But yeah, I'm really sitting there in the background. Obviously, I'm enjoying myself at these meals, but yeah, you know, I'm analyzing what they're doing. I'm analyzing, you know, how is the server speaking to me? What are they saying to me? How much time are they taking to say these things? Like, I'm analyzing all of this all the time. So it really, like, because before a Tavernetta, right, I'd be like, oh, I wasn't even thinking about the mechanics of what they're doing, right? Like I was just coming in and I was saying, okay, how does the menu look? What do they have? And not even at a deep level. And then, is it good? Is it not good? Right now it's like, what ingredients are they featuring and why, based on the time of year, where they're located? You know, and sometimes I'll like ask servers, you know, questions like obviously I'll always do that, but you know, I'll ask them like, you know, specifics on dishes and why, you know, like, or what is it about this dish that makes it special, you know, things like that, just to hear, you know, what they have to say. And it's like a constant learning experience. Like I try to take, like you said, I try to take something from every meal that I can. I'm not critical about it. I think like when I first started Tabernetta, like I was like, oh, like this is how we do it. They don't do it this way. What the hell? And I think it was just, that was a me thing. But now like I've realized you can just sit there and analyze it, and you can take the good from it, and you can also take note of the bad and don't bring that to Tabernetta. And I think and one of the cool things too is they even have an incentive program at Tabernetta. If you eat at a place of similar or higher quality, and you write a review just for Tabernetta, you know, like you can give them a whole write up and just explain to them what the restaurant's doing really well and what they aren't doing well in your opinion. And, you know, they'll give you gift cards for in their restaurant group. So a good little incentive program to get us out there, because at the end of the day, it's all about the collective, you know, intelligence. And we love it when people in the industry come and dine with us. And, you know, every guest experience is catered differently. And so we treat those, you know, as VIP. You know, those are really important to us, because, you know, we want them to not only have a great experience with us, but like we want them to see what we're doing and pass that along to make the industry better as a whole. And it goes both ways, and it should always be like that. And, you know, I don't wave it in other restaurants' faces, but if we get on the topic, you know, of, oh, what do you do and stuff, like I'll let them know that I'm in the industry, but I don't come and say, oh yeah, like my name's Mike, I work for, you know, I don't do that. But if it comes up, then it's great, because then we can kind of riff and talk about things and, you know, what do you like about working here? And then they can ask, and then we get dialogues while I'm dining, which is cool. And it's helpful for everybody.
That's awesome. And not only is it great that you're out there doing it, and I think many others are, but that it's incentivized by the restaurant group that Tavernetta runs. And I think not only is it good for each individual restaurant, but in terms of the Rockies in particular, especially given, as we spoke about just a bit earlier, Michelin has come to town. Can you talk to me a little bit about what that has done, in your opinion, to the Rocky, I don't want to say just Denver, obviously, because it encompasses more landmass than Denver. But can you talk to me a little bit about what that has done to elevate the game of the Denver food space, bring in new people, things of that nature?
Definitely. I mean, I think the biggest thing is competition, right? And, you know, because whether it's not like it's, oh, we need to be better than them, but it's like, oh, hey, like only so many restaurants are going to get on this list, right? So we need to make sure that we are putting ourselves in the best position, you know, to be in that conversation, right? So that's the first thing. And I think one of the biggest pieces of achieving that is, obviously, it all comes down to who you have on your team, right? So going out and finding great people to work for you, that's huge. And it comes from the management too. I remember, because when I first joined, it was, Michelin had released their first guide in August of 2025 or September of, or sorry, 2023, August or September of 2023, right, for Colorado. And, you know, I was still in my first 8 months, 8-9 months at that point. So there was so much talk. And because some of our managers at the time had worked at Michelin star restaurants in New York City, and other people, you know, in our wine team have dined at Michelin and, you know people. And so there was so much talk about it. So what it did was it gave us a goal you know, it gave us discrete goal because people knew what's required. They know how this system works. They know what Michelin typically likes in a restaurant. They've dined at other Michelin restaurants. They know how that typically goes and looks, right? So the framework was there, but so that was huge because, right, that's the people side of it. So we had people who knew what wanted to do. Then we had people like me who were bought in, wanted to work their butts off and help achieve that goal, right? So I think that duality is huge. And I think a lot of other restaurants are starting to do it. Like, it's definitely been really good for the food scene out here. You're seeing a lot of places, and I think it's on a really good trajectory, you know, because there were times when I first moved, I've lived in Denver 5.5 years now. When I first moved here, it was like people kind of knew what the good restaurants are. But now you have new places popping up all the time, or you have these powerhouse restaurant groups, and they're creating more restaurants within themselves. I think one of the great stories is this restaurant, Alma Fondafina. They were the newest addition to the Michelin Guide last summer. They were the only restaurant that was added for a Michelin star in Colorado. The rest of them stayed consistent for the one stars. And fantastic dining experience. Like, the food was incredible. They really did a fantastic job. But now they already have 3 restaurants, right? So what it's done is, hey, now we've got our Michelin star. Now we can expand. And so that boosts the local economy in a huge way, because now you have a ton more. You've got 3 restaurants in this restaurant group already, and you've got a ton more jobs, and there's hype and there's buzz around it. And like, these reservations are hard to get. Like, there was not buzz like that when I first moved here. You know, it was like, oh, you had to find, you know, the new restaurant. You had to kind of claw, you had to be a foodie like I was and really dig in and try and find it. So there's a lot more access, and that, you know, that's a trajectory that'll continue to happen. And whether a place gets on the guide or they have aspirations of getting on the guide, the drive is going to be there. And it's great for the scene. I think things are on a real good trajectory right now.
That's interesting, especially the discrete goal aspect of it for people who either know or don't know, and how now you have something to strive towards separate and apart from providing a perfect customer experience, the best possible X on the plate, whatever it may be. Now you have something else to bring that kind of hype and those jobs and those people to the mountains, which I think is awesome. So now, Mike, moving back towards you, what are your discrete goals, if any, that now moving into, you know, you've been here for 2.5 years, you've continued to climb the ladder. It sounds like you've made a great community and have a great team around you that's helping prop you up. And now you're going back in and helping prop the new crop of people up. Talk to me a little bit about what are the things that you're hoping to achieve in and around the food space moving forward.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, I think my goals they're a little more soft. They're not as discreet, but they're because they're process oriented goals. You just mentioned it. Like, a big part of it is getting this new batch of people trained up. You know, like, I would say every spring we go through a pretty big hiring phase, because our busy season without question is the summertime. Once we open our patio seating, you know, the amount of covers that we can do, because we're in such a hot spot in the Union Station area downtown. So the amount of walk-in traffic is crazy with the Rockies going on, the Rocky baseball team, right? And playoff basketball and hockey, like, we get crazy walk-in traffic. So we do this big hiring phase in the spring. And so then that's the managers, they hire people. And then it comes on people like me is to get these people trained up properly so that they're ready for this heavy volume, but also high quality. That's the experience that Tavernetta provides. And so it's hard. Again, even for people who know this industry really well, like, that is a really, it's a tough duality to hit at a high level for both quality and volume. And not a lot of restaurants do that. So training people up is always the biggest thing, especially with this season. And then I would say the other, you know, big goal for me and a lot of other my contemporaries at the more senior level is building guest relations, right? That's a huge, huge topic, and getting regulars. You know, I've seen you chat about it in some of your, you know, restaurant tips videos. it's massive, right? You get someone in the door for their first experience, right? They have an amazing time, but maybe it's their 10-year wedding anniversary, right? And they don't do that sort of thing too often. But how can you make that experience so amazing for them that they trust you now every year for their anniversary, or they recommend it to their friends, right? So the guest relations is big, and it piggybacks on the Michelin and the competition thing too, because if you can start to have, you know, that amount of regulars and excellent guest relations, which thankfully Tavernet is very fortunate, you know, to have a lot of positives in that regard. It makes you more competitive, and, you know, that leads to profits, clout, et cetera. And then it's easier to get better people, and it cycles in a really positive way. Right. So I think those are the two biggest things for me: training and guest relations.
Awesome. Well, those are great. Really appreciate the time, Mike. I think your story is fascinating, from foodie to front of house. You know, it's a journey that not many people have the opportunity to take. And I appreciate you sharing your thoughts with us on that experience for you personally. So very much appreciate it, Mike. And we'll chat with you soon.
Awesome. Yeah. Thanks for your time. Pleasure to share any and all insights. So have a great day.